It is a blessing to be here with you. And now I know this is the Sunday school hour. I don't know what the normal routine is here for the Sunday school hour, but sometimes in my church, the normal routine is to not be awake. All right. Now we start at 9:30, so I'll be looking at the clock all weird here this morning for our Sunday school. But thank you for being here. And what a blessing it is to be here with you on this celebration of 25 years of God's Word Baptist Church, and praise the Lord for it. Thank you for your faithfulness. Those who have been here many years, those who have been here just a few years, thank you for giving to the Lord and being faithful in that. If you would, this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Thank you, Brother Stewart, for the opportunity to be here and be with your church for this celebration. I know you have at least one more week to come. How many weeks are you doing this? Okay, 2 weeks. All right, running this for 2 weeks. But what a blessing. What a blessing it is to be a part of a lighthouse. My pastor in New York, he used to say that we go to special meetings or we go places and you have a bunch of people together, but then from there we go to our own foxholes and do what God's asked us to do. And so I'm glad there's a church here preaching the gospel and shining the light of Jesus Christ here as we're up in Chehalis attempting to do the same. And so it is a blessing to be with you. Exodus chapter number 12. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. We'll just ask the blessing on the message and then we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that have come this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word, the preaching of your word. Lord, that you would have the preeminence in all things. Lord, that you would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of your people. But Lord, that when we left here this morning after the services and after the songs and the singing, Lord, and after the fellowship one with another, Lord, that we would know that you did something for us. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for your great faithfulness to us. And we pray that we would be the servants and soldiers we need to be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 12 this morning. I'm going to take a little bit of some liberties to think that you know the story and believe that you've read the story and understand what's going on here as we kind of cover a little bit of the passage here. But Israel has been in Egypt now for just about 430 years. And they have been slaves since before the birth of Moses. So there is 80-some years of them being in bondage and then them being in slavery. And in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord is about to deliver his people with one last plague that is going to come upon Egypt, and this is the death of the firstborn. Excuse me, the death of the firstborn. And mainly here to a generation that is born into servitude, as midnight and death approaches, God designs redemption through the blood of the Lamb. And if you remember in Exodus 12 here, that's where they're supposed to take the lamb and God is giving them direction, which would end up being a memorial in the Passover. But it would be this direction of taking a lamb and slaying that lamb and killing it and applying the blood. In verse number 13, if you would look at the verse, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are." We'll see. We'll see what happens with the voice. I don't know. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. With the blood of plied, there was no fear of death." There was no fear of death. And this blood applied, this memorial that was going to be the beginning of something new for the children of Israel. It was going to be the beginning of something new for this, what the Lord calls the congregation of Israel, the armies of Israel, the children of Israel. In verse number 2 of the same chapter, it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be a first month of the year to you." It was a different start. As I said, this this blood applied. It was going to be a memorial, something that was to be remembered when they delivered, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and by his strong hand and by his power, they were supposed to go with their loins girded, their shoes on, and their staff in hand. We see that in verse number 11. It says, be ready. Get ready, put your shoes on, put your clothes on, get your staff, get everything that you have together, because I'm going to do something for you and with you, and we're about to get out of here. And God establishes all this, and he tells them, you're going to tell your children and future generations about the deliverance that the Lord did for you from Egypt with the blood of the Lamb. And this was a start. This was something different. And now as they prepare to leave Egypt and to head towards the promised land that God had spoken to them about, God gives them favor among the children of Egypt. And they end up taking the spoil of the Egyptians, of their gold and their silver and their jewels. And God blesses them with wealth that they didn't even have to begin with. But now the children of Egypt are like, just get out of here. We're tired of this destruction and the plagues that God's brought upon us. And as Moses told Pharaoh in chapter 10, they leave not a hoof behind, and all goes with them. Because in chapter 10, Moses says, we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And so we're taking everything because we don't know what we need to serve the Lord. And it doesn't take very long, even here in chapter 12, when God is giving very specific directions, that the children of Israel find out that freedom from servitude of the Egyptians didn't mean freedom to do whatever they wanted. This new freedom meant that they weren't in bondage to Egypt, but that God had an ordinance for them and obedience for them and a new law for them of months and feasts and sacrifices that he begins to describe to them here in chapter 12. And so they leave from here, they leave from serving Egypt with very physical rigor to now leaving Egypt and having to serve the Lord in an entirely different way. And they find out that in serving God comes blessing. In serving God comes blessing. Look in chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse number 17. Chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. God started to lead his people and guide his people and protect his people under his hand of blessing. And God brought them out of Egypt and said, listen, if I take them this way, they're going to see war and be afraid of the war, and they might just turn around and go back to Egypt. So I'm going to protect them from that. I'm going to turn them in this other direction and protect them from their own fears and from their own a lack of faith in what I'm going to do for them. And God protected them from that. And why? Because that's the kind of God that he is. That's the kind of God that he is. And he protects them and he keeps them out of the Philistines' land and he takes them by the Red Sea. And when Israel starts looking for a sign from God, because they had just had a bunch of them in Egypt, they start looking for a sign from God that he's with them and protecting them. He gives them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day to lead them and guide them and shadow them and protect them. God does this for them so that they, in living by sight, are saying, we know that God is with us. We know that he is here and that he is with us. And boy, it had to be glorious. It had to be glorious to leave this old life, to leave Egypt, and to start walking with all of your things and all of the extra blessings of Egypt, to understand that there is a very visible thing that God is leading and guiding and protecting you with, that had to be glorious to understand the blessings and the comfort and the peace and the liberty and the leadership and the visible power of God to say, this is our God. This is our God that has done this for us. And then we get to chapter 14. And when we get into chapter 14, as God often does, he puts Israel in a position. He says, I've given them these things. I've protected them from the Philistines. They're not going to see war and what you would think as sudden death. They're not going to see all of that right away, but I'm going to protect them and bring them more south towards the Red Sea. And then the Lord puts them in this place where Pharaoh says, wait a minute. Egypt has been destroyed. We've lost our own children. And we're not letting these people go that easy. We're going to go get them. And they gather the armies and they gather the chariots and they start the march and they start to go after the children of Israel. And especially those ones that were in the back, right, of the children of Israel. They're like, hey, pass the word to the front up there. How fast can we do this game of telephone? You know, hey, tell Moses that they're coming. They're coming for us. And in verse number 10, the Bible says this, chapter 14, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And that's how they felt about it. That's how they felt. Why? Because Israel was a nation that was walking by sight. And they had very small, very young faith. And they were walking by sight. They were walking by the pillar and the cloud. And they were seeing that God said, I was going to take the plagues and I'm going to draw a division now in these plagues in between the children of Israel and the children of Egypt. I'm going to draw a division and you'll see my hand. You'll see it be utter darkness there, but it'll be light where you are. You'll see this separation and taking care of the children of Israel. And now, where are they? They're in the Red Sea, and they see water before them, and they see an army behind them, and they say, well, you brought us out here to die. This is not what we were looking forward to. This is not what we thought it was going to be. Those seem to be the options. That's where their sight led them, is it's the Red Sea, and we can try to ford this, or we can just wait and be slaughtered by the Egyptians. They said, we told you to just leave us alone, Moses. Just leave us alone. In verse number 13, Moses says to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He says, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. And maybe it's just my pessimism, but I'm thinking, yeah, we have no other options. Water, Pharaoh, where are we going? Just stand still. God's going to do all the work. Okay, because that's the only thing we can do. Right? Either he's going to do the work, or we're gone. We're just done. But there they were, said, hey, just stand still. Just watch and see what God's going to do. And in verse number 15, we see this. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. Took me a long time to get to the title, but the title of the message is Go Forward. go forward. He tells the children of Israel, just stand still, watch God work for you, and when He works for you, go forward. When God opens up some way, when God allows something to happen where you have a door of opportunity, just go forward. Just go forward. Moses holds out the rod, and what happens? The sea parts with an east wind that was so strong that it blew back the waters. It dried the ground that they were going to walk across, and yet nobody even had to hold on to their hats. How'd that happen? God did that. God did that. The angel of God in a pillar of fire that night kept the Egyptians in total darkness, and yet the pillar of fire shone on the children of Israel so they could see where to take their next step. God did that for them. God did it. All the way to the other shore, they could see enough to take their next step. What must those first steps have been like? Right? Have you thought about that? Have you allowed your Hollywood and cartoon-infested brains to just stop sometimes and picture what's actually going on in the Bible? I'm not talking about the old movie. You know, I'm just talking about, like, what must that have been like? But what must that have been like to stand at the edge of the shore and you watch the water part and you see dry ground in front of you? And I don't know this to be true, but if it was like how God deals with you and I, they might not have been able to see all the way across to the other side. They might have just been able to see enough to know that God had done something for them, and they were now to act in a way that they hadn't acted before. They were going to have to start taking steps of faith. Can you imagine those first ones there, standing there? Now, what do you want us to do exactly? You want us all to file through this? This is the plan. This is what God has designed, is to hold them off long enough so that we can all walk through here. That must have been something else. That must have been very uncertain to take those first steps. That was very unknown to them. That had to be very uncomfortable for them to say, all right, so just one more time, just go right on through here, right? Just walk right on through here and look at the water and watch the water and take all of our stuff and all of our families and just trust that this is going to work. Yeah, that's what they had to do. And when they all made it to the other side and the sun came up in the morning, they turn around and what do they get to see? They get to see indeed that the Lord fought for them. Why? Because they didn't have to raise a staff. They didn't have to hold a fork, a pitchfork. They didn't have to do anything. God did the fighting for them, and they get to the other side, and the sun comes up, and that morning watch, and they watch that water come back down in on the armies of Pharaoh and wipe them out, and they say, man, that was even cooler than I thought, right? All the uncertainty, all the unknown, everything that was uncomfortable, it was really cool when they were on the other side. When they were on the other side and seeing God's hand work and knowing that they stepped out by faith and watched God take care of them and going forward like God commanded them to do, man, that would have been real cool. I mean, that was so cool, they just started singing songs and dancing around and having a great time. They said, now that was awesome. That was awesome. And it was awesome. And God did that for them, but you know what they had to do? They had to go forward. They had to go forward with, not with just sight alone, but they had to go forward by faith. And what's the application for you and I? How do we draw this around for you and I? Well, salvation is available to anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 tells us that we can have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We can call upon the Lord. We can ask the Lord for salvation by putting our faith in what? His blood sacrifice. His blood, not animals, but in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. and we can call upon him for salvation. And when we call upon him, if you got saved late in life, you really understand, later in life, you really understand this, there's a difference now. That living life as a Christian isn't the same as living life in the world, lost and without hope and without God. Yeah. Living a life of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been saved for 5 minutes or for 50 years, there's something different about it. And there is something that is glorious about it. There is something where walking in the light and of God and His Son and His Word and coming to a local church and hearing the preaching of God's word and knowing that the preacher is preaching on something, but God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is dealing with your heart about maybe something else entirely, but he is speaking with you and dealing with you and drawing you to himself as children. There's something mighty glorious about that. There is a comfort about that. There is blessings in that, being the children of God. And those blessings are abundant. They're abundant. It's a new life. We're free from the law of sin and death. And there's a Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us now, that leads and guides, not in a pillar of fire and smoke, but if you've been saved for any length of time, there's been things that God has done in your life just as real as if you were standing there with a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud to lead and guide you. Yeah. You look back and say, that was real. Yeah. I'm not talking about a spooky, charismatic-y type of, oh, I was just there and I had that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that God does in your life and reveals himself through your word. And you say, that was God and only God. That's the blessings of being a child of God. But the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In Hebrews chapter 11. The Lord brings every Christian to the edge of the Red Sea at some point and says, go forward. Go forward. Yes, I mean, the pillar of cloud, David says, under the shadow of thy wings is where he abides. Ecclesiastes 2, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. When they were out there in the desert, wandering around, that pillar of cloud, I don't know this, but the pillar of cloud, that could have been a nice shadow for them to be under, to keep them from the beating sun. Why? Because we're under the shadow of his wings. And they had this pillar of a cloud, they had the pillar of fire to lead and guide them. And yes, Jesus Christ is that light, and his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have those things in Christ. We have that. But when we see God part the water and for our lives, and we look over and we see a guy holding a stick, I mean, that's what Moses was doing. He went like that, and there it parts. I mean, we look over and we see God do something, and we think there's a guy with a stick that's doing all the work. Well, that doesn't necessarily calm my flesh. It doesn't make me say, let's just go for it. Let's just jump. I'll be first. It's natural to sometimes say, Lord, why'd you bring me here? It was easier over there. It was easier not having to live by faith. It was easier just trying to make it my own way, trusting in the arm of the flesh. You brought me out here to just kill me out here, Lord, I guess. It's easier sometimes in our carnality and in the old man and in the old nature to just say, what am I doing in this place? What am I doing in this spot? How'd you bring me here, Lord? I look back and I try to see your hand and everything, and right now things are just dark and I don't know exactly what's going on. The Lord says, hey, go forward. And listen, church, in these end times, these days of Laodicea, it'd be easy to give up. It'd be easy to throw in the towel. It'd be easy to live for self. It'd be easy to walk away from the truth. But don't you do it. Don't you do it. And Christian, we're here today to celebrate 25 years of God's Word Baptist Church. We can rejoice in what the Lord has done. You can rejoice in those that have labored before you and those that labor beside you. You can rejoice in the victories claimed in your life as a Christian and inside these very walls. And the prayer requests and the things you've asked God to do and the burden that you've had on your heart, there's been some prayers answered. There's been some real times with some knees bent at an altar in these last 25 years, no doubt. Be able to thank the Lord for the leadership and the guidance of the Lord from this very pulpit. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to look back and see all the things that God has done. And yes, the future is often unknown. It wouldn't be faith if we knew what was happening. If God laid it all out for us, we wouldn't have to walk by faith. And if we laid it all out for us, we'd probably be too scared to do it anyway. Oh, that's coming. Poof. I didn't sign up for that. So what's God do? God puts us at the edge and he says, go forward. Go forward. As the Israelites had to choose to go forward, both as individuals, as children of God, and corporately, as what God says is the congregation of Israel and the congregation of God, it's time for you in these last days to determine to continue to go forward. Amen. To go forward as individuals. Say, Lord, help me. By your grace, I'm going to continue to go forward. And I'm going to continue to serve you, and I'm going to continue to try to walk by faith. And Lord, I am not the best or the strongest or the most. God, I need your help. But I want to go forward. I want to go forward. As a church, go forward. How? Go forward in faith, pleasing the Lord. It pleases the Lord when you step out by faith. It pleases the Lord when you live your life saying, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to take the next step. It pleases the Lord when you go forward by faith. And church, it pleases the Lord when you together from the leadership on down says, we're going to go forward by faith and see what great things God is going to do for us. That pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. And it's the best life, by the way. You can go forward in fellowship, loving one another. As a unit that comes out of the world in this surrounding area, comes out, you step away from the job, you step away from school, you step away from responsibilities, and you come in to a place like this, a shelter of a place like this, not just a roof over your head, but a shelter of the truth of the Word of God, a place where you come in and the Bible is preached, and you can come in and you can sit down and you can exhale and say, and you can have fellowship one with another, saying, I know I have struggles and they have struggles, and boy, when we walk out of these doors and we go to where God has placed us, and man, we're just trying to serve the Lord and be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness for Him. We're just trying to raise our families right and keep our marriages together serving God. We're just going forward. And you can do that with fellowship. You do that going forward together. And you go forward with fellowship as well. What is fellowship? That's following the leadership that God puts for you and for your family. That's following whoever God places in a position of leadership is to say, Lord, I want to follow them. If you're leading them, I'm going to follow them. Because that's what it takes. It takes, now it's easy as the preacher to stand up here and talk about that. It's easy to get in front of my church and say, you're supposed to follow. Why? Because I'm the one supposed to be leading. Do you ever see kids play follow the leader? Whoever's in the lead is like, I'm going to be in the lead. And they start the line, and before you know it, you have however many kids are playing in a dead sprint to be the leader. That's how follow the leader goes, usually. Everyone wants their turn at being the leader. And so it's easy to say that from up here, but listen, God operates through his system of the local church, and he puts leadership in place for you. And for when I'm sitting down in the pew, it's my heart to be submitted unto what God has for me. And you go forward with that. You go forward with that in God's blessing. Don't stand on the side of the shore kicking rocks around complaining. There's too much of it. It hinders the going forward. Imagine if those first few hundred or so were just standing there. We don't really want to go down. Everyone else that would have wanted to go forward would have been like, hey, get out of the way. And they're just standing there like, oh, man. I either have to go into this unknown, uncertain, uncomfortable thing, or you just leave us alone, Moses. Don't do that. Don't do that. Ask the Lord to give you the boldness. Say, what was over on the other side of the Red Sea? What was over there? What was on that other side in the darkness of that night? What was over there? Well, there was thirst over there. That's not where you thought I was going, did you? There was thirst over there. And what did they get to see? They got to see water from a rock. They got to see him cut down a tree and throw it in bitter water and it becomes sweet. What was on the other side? There was hunger. And they got to get up every morning and go outside their tents and collect manna that God had dropped from heaven, provide for them and their families. If they kept too much, it'd breed worms, except on Friday. You took double on Friday and then you had extra, you had enough for Saturday. What was that? God. It was God doing that. The law, that was on the other side of the Red Sea. It was the law, all the do's and the don'ts and all the, oh, God's just such a heavy-handed God. No, God said, I'm going to give you this law and you're going to be different from everybody else. You're going to be mine. Amen. Because of this law. You separate yourself, you live holy, you live unto me, you'll be mine and you'll have my blessings. What was on the other side? Enemies. There was enemies. There was also the promised land. There were battles and many victories. What it came from the Lord. It came from God himself. The Lord did that for them. What do they have to do? Go forward. Go forward. That's what they had to do. Keep going forward. And watch God's hand. I know my word doesn't count for much, but following the Lord when he says go forward has always been the best decisions I've ever made in my life. The best decisions weren't the ones where I had it all figured out and calculated and organized and put down on the calendar and laid out in this nice plan. Those were never the times. It was the times when by faith I said, Lord, but my schedule says this. Lord, my 5-year plan looks like this. Did I not give you a copy? And the Lord says, no, do this thing. Go forward. And you step out by faith and you continue walking after him. Those have been the best decisions I've ever made in my life. The song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And in this fight, it's not worth turning around. It's not worth going back. Christian, that's not an option. I say that knowing that there is an option. But there's no other good option. When you weigh it out, and you say, I'm going to go forward for Christ, or I'm going to go backwards to uncertainty and the unknown, you think living by faith is uncertain. You try taking the reins. See how that works out. Not as well as you think. No turning back, no turning back. Listen, my prayer is even so, come Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. Come and get us, Lord. Get us out of this wicked world. Lord, save this carnal flesh. And let me be perfected and be able to serve you and worship you perfectly. Save me from myself. In this attempt to live by faith. But when he comes back, that's his business. You know what we're supposed to do till then? We're supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be going forward. We're supposed to be walking by faith until he returns. And we see him in the clouds. And our days of faith are over. And we can walk by sight following him in perfection. But until then, what's this church supposed to do? Go forward. Thank God for what has been. Thank God for 25 years of faithfulness. That is not nothing. That is something. Thank God for it. But what are we doing from here? When these couple weeks are over and the guest preachers are over and the rain starts falling and it's we're back into the routine, right? I know it's illegal to talk about in September, but when go forward and say, Lord, help us be faithful in what you have for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful for your goodness to us. I'm so thankful for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, I pray that these people here in this church, those that heard me this morning, those part of God's Word Baptist Church, would continue to realize what you've given them here. Oh, they wouldn't take things for granted. They wouldn't take your hand for granted. They wouldn't take your work in this church and the effort that goes into everything done here. They wouldn't take it for granted, Lord. They would realize it's a blessing. It's a blessing from you. It's a place where these folks can come and relax from the pressures of the world and know that there's people sitting in the rows in front of them, behind them, and across from them that are praying for them, and understand there's fellowship in the local church and there's blessing in it and there's protection in it. And Lord, that there's a place that loves their kids and loves them. And Lord, I pray that they would see it as a blessing. They would see it as your hand of mercy and continued faithfulness to them. And Lord, that they would determine in their hearts to be thankful and yet determine in their hearts to be faithful and to continue walking in the path that you've given them to walk in and continue to go in the direction that you have for their families and for their lives. Lord, that you'd strengthen their backbone as the days appear to be getting worse and worse. Lord, you give them the stability of your word and the truth of it as a comfort. You allow the Holy Ghost to speak loudly and plainly to their hearts and their minds. And Lord, that this church would continue to go forward. Lord, I pray for my church and the services this morning, Lord. I pray that they're being encouraged. I pray that they're strengthen in their own hearts to continue moving forward and what you've have for us to do. Lord, again, thank you for being so kind to us. Thank you for speaking to us from your word. Lord, I pray that you bless anyone that's still on their way and still coming for the next service. I pray that you'd bless the preacher of the next hour. Lord, be with Brother DeMichael, and thank you for his faithfulness over the years and example. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us and meet with us, Lord, and give us what we need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Pastor.